Blog Talk Radio.
And as the clown prince of crime just said, here we go. Good evening, citizens of Paragon and Millennium Cities. It's Monday night, 6:34 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States on the planet Earth. It is I, your host, Pogoman, and this is Paragon Radio. Sorry about last week. Thank you to my co-host, Mad Viking, for taking over hosting duties. Family emergency took its toll, and I cannot make it at the last second. These things do happen. But the show went on. Happy post-Thanksgiving in the United States. As I said, let's bring him on. Let's bring on my co-host. He's Mad. He's a Viking. He's Mad Viking.
The winner and still champion, listening to the fans.
Okay. And
the reason why I say this is because of the recent news, and that is Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was giving half the budget as the 2016 one, is going to make a profit, and Sony has given the green light for the Reitman family to continue on, and they said they would like to see other people's interpretations. Which
Wait a minute. For those who were in, those who were, well, hold on. Old Man Bob told me he couldn't get into the building. He couldn't get into the WCUC studios. Hold on. I got to put on the costume. Boom. I just put on my Ghost Hunter costume. There. I could be, we could do a Ghostbusters thing in Champions Online. We could film a Ghostbusters movie. There. So we could be Ghostbusters Paragon Dawn.
So theoretically, if they flip the order and it goes Ghostbusters original, Ghostbusters 2, Ghostbusters Afterlife, they make the announcement they want to see other people's interpretation, then Ghostbusters 2016 considered canon.
Well, wait a minute. Well, what year does Ghostbusters Afterlife take place in? I haven't seen it yet. It just came out. So when does it take place in?
It takes place in quite a time where they obviously had to kill Harold Ramis's character, Egon Spengler. He's dead.
Right. So
they put it to current date.
All right. So but then Afterlife took place in 2016. So that's what I don't understand. How can you put it after? That's what I don't get.
Whether they would consider it like an alternate universe?
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Bring in the extreme Ghostbusters cartoon.
Right. I think there was so much hate mail towards the 2016 Ghostbusters, I think that's it. I think they're done. I just think.
Well, like I said, I at least I am giving proverbial olive branch. Yes, I am for the tradition stuff. There was three factors that was very obvious about this.
Yeah.
Number one. If you listen to the recent interviews, it was Dan Aykroyd that made the comment that you will note that the original two, they didn't do any blue jokes. And when I mean blue, as in to refresh your memory, in the 2016 one, them mentioned about having slime in every crevice.
Right, yeah. Well, that's the difference, right? That those actresses do work in blue, right? That's the difference. Mm-hmm. So,
and the other one, very obvious, was the difference of Bill Murray's mannerism when they were doing the interviews for 2016 and the interviews for Afterlife. when they were doing for Afterlife, Bill Murray was having fun.
Yes, right. Yeah, he just seemed miserable, right,
he was,
for 2016. And in the interview, I know, right, the interviews for this one's like, hey, right. And it's a matter, well, like I said, I haven't seen this one yet. So I want to see this one. One, I'd love to see the Extreme Ghostbusters of the live action. I haven't seen that yet. Two, Afterlife, they could do a sequel or a trilogy of movies or something like that. I'd love to see that. Mm-hmm. For years, I've heard talks of like them doing a TV show, a Ghostbusters something on TV, but never came to fruition. So,
because it's now the Ghost Core movie studio.
Okay, so now they have a Ghost Core. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I don't want to spoil it. I haven't seen it yet. I don't want to, no spoilers, no nothing, please. I want to go see this thing, so just
Oh, believe me, I'm trying to hunt down one scene. I've seen
okay.
some of the others.
Have you seen it yet? Have you seen it? Have you seen the new one?
Bits and pieces.
All right. I haven't seen it at all yet, so no spoilers.
All okay. right. And make a jump. Jump around.
Oh.
Jump around. Jump up to bump and get down.
Oh, I just could have done the whole torch thing. Hold on. I could have just done this. Okay. So, Wednesday night, Stan and Lou had their annual Thanksgiving Day parade.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually cheaply done. However, this year, they had a new sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Whom was their new sponsor, Mr. Viking, sir?
It was Pogo Man of Blog Talk Radio.
And more specifically?
There were a few additions, improvements.
Yes.
But it was your first year, so you couldn't go all out.
Right. We had a budget because the happy, whatever the hell, the Japanese, they...
The third annual Under New Management Super Duper Happy Fun Time Old Time Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes. Right. But we had some things. I said we have to have a poop balloon. That was a big hit. But then at the end, I said, what always leaves them? A big production at the end. A big production at the end. We'll leave them going, ooh. So we put a big production number at the end. It was Pogo Man and the Bunny Knights of Ragnarok. We did a two-song production with fireworks and pyro and laser lights. The fans were, it was like a scene out of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The fans were dancing in the streets. They were going nuts. The grandstands were going, woo. Al Roker couldn't believe it. He was doing backflips up and down the street like a scene out of the Blues Brothers.
And Alan was there to lead it off. And there was a picture of Alan being held by a pimp named Squishy. So he appeared twice.
yes. Do we have pictures of, do we have photos or pictures from the parade?
We didn't have the budget for it.
We didn't have a budget for a photographer?
No.
I mean, no fans that were sitting there had a phone with them taking pictures? Like, Why don't you describe the action?
Well, let's see. We had our first float. Actually, it was a station wagon pulling a towable flatbed.
Okay, what was on the flatbed?
It was...
I had a limited budget this year. Go ahead.
It was evil on the flatbed, on a artist's desk in a chair. And anyone that's been on a towable flatbed, yeah, you hit those brakes a little too hard.
I've been on those. When I was in high school, we participated in those parades. The local, you know, as a matter of fact, ours is coming up in a couple of weeks. Man. Oh, God. I feel so bad for those kids, those high school kids. And they sit there and they smile, and all of a sudden the driver does, you get an inexperienced driver, it's like, oh, my God. And they go lurching forward,
now,
and like they're doubling over, and it's
now,
like,
I
and they saw the smiles. It's like, I know they're hurting, and they're cursing that driver on the inside, and they saw those smiles, and they're waving like, hi, hi.
You know, the second they get back. Now, you mentioned about children. In all honesty, I almost didn't air it due to the fact of what happened in Washica, Wisconsin, where that nut job drove his SUV through a Christmas parade. And it wasn't until I read an article that other parades are going to do something to honor those who died.
Jeez. You know, it's always some whack job that's got to ruin a parade for everybody for no reason.
And believe me, when I said there was a parade, there was a few people going, too soon! I'm going, like, yes, I know.
But it's an annual tradition, the Stanton Blue Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was a Wednesday. We planned this ahead of time. The Boot Balloon was a big hit. How big is the Boot Balloon? Is it to scale?
Yeah. We couldn't
afford
the big
one. Right, so one person held the balloon.
Right.
Next year. Right. When I ordered the balloon, I described it. I show them what Boop looks like, and I tried to explain to the person, this is what he looks like. Now we need something bigger. But they thought I wanted to scale. I went, no, I want it to look like this to scale, meaning make it 100 times bigger, but keep everything in proportion. Not here. This is what you wanted. Oh, no. I didn't want a balloon to scale, a life-like version, balloon version.
There were two other balloons, one representing the dedication of listeners for when the DJs are out. That was after Swarm with the balloon with that said the No Rain show, pattern after the Blind Melon song, No Rain. And...
Right. That's all it said. It was a big balloon that says no rain, right? And how big was that balloon? Just to give you an idea.
Regular
size Mylar balloon, right. We had to have a camera zoom in on it. Go ahead.
And
all these balloons were supposed to, remember, I had planned all these balloons to be the size of the Macy's Day Parade balloons, but go ahead.
and the other one was, the other one had to be regular size because it was with Eben Brooks, his wife, Phoenix, and his child, Julian, and the balloon was tied to his wrist. So we couldn't have Julian going up, up, and away, oh, my beautiful. No, we couldn't do that.
Right, right, right. That was special, right. That was a special balloon, right. But trust me, the Boot Balloon, there was major, major miscommunication. So next year, we've already started talking. We've already taken measurements, and the Boot Balloon will be something along the line, definitely along the lines of the Macy's Day Parade. Mm-hmm. It will be at least 100 feet in length and all that. There will be a definite crew of like 50, mm-hmm. you know, 40, 30, 30, 40, 50 people holding the balloon in place.
And you got an AFK over you.
I do? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We also had a few decent sized group marchings. Hell's Demonic Legion had three of their members and a whole bunch of demons walking with them. And then we had the Dawnmination Fighters. So it wasn't just always one or two people.
Right. Surprisingly, the groups were well well behaved.
Yes.
The demons were kept on leashes. The fighters didn't, you know, fight amongst themselves. I think the fighters wanted to be well represented, you know.
You know, the votes, you know, for the polls. So it was like, hey, we behaved.
Right.
We behaved.
Right. They wanted, I think they wanted to be like the best, you know, like what group was best represented there. So.
Mm-hmm.
At the end. Let's see. What else do we have there? We have those groups.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the big ending.
I think that took everybody
by. Yeah. Morgana had her, I was going like, now we got to see the Bunny Knights of Ragnarok in their heavy metal gear. And Morgana goes, I already got one. And Vixen made one for Friday. So that leaves Foot High and Mask.
Right. Yes.
Just in case, you know, we get one more performance of Pogo Man and the Bunny Knights of Ragnarok.
Yes, we had practiced the one song, and they said, we want to do a second song. I'm like, okay. So we actually had been practicing two songs the whole time. So we had surprised everybody with that one. Because they said, what if they want an encore? I said, oh, trust me, they're going to want an encore with the way we sound, so.
And immediately I had people going like, you're doing a Christmas song. I'm going like, it's tradition. At the end of every Thanksgiving Day parade, you're going to hear a Christmas song. You cannot
get
away from it.
Normally at the end of every Thanksgiving Day parade, they have Santa come down on his sleigh with the reindeer and Mrs. Claus, and Santa gets out and he gives candy canes to the kids and they play some kind of like Here Comes Santa Claus or something like that. And that's the only time we hear it. Now, it's only November 29th, right?
Well, today is the 29th, yes.
Right. But after that parade, I don't want to hear any Christmas songs until December 1st.
Well, that's Texas's choice for tonight and coconut for tomorrow. I was like, I'm not filling in. Those two are there.
Ooh, did you play Christmas songs over the weekend?
I did have a few, but mainly they were Trans-Siberian. I did hit
you know what?
Adam Sandler's Hanukkah because tonight is
It's Hanukkah. Right. You know what? My stepsister's Jewish. I'm house-sitting for them. They went to Disney World. Today is Hanukkah. That's different. Today's the first day of Hanukkah. That's different. That's their holiday. So you can play that song.
Well, all four versions. I was going like,
right.
Let's see.
Yeah,
is there
right.
Number five? Nope. There are
no, there were
five,
only four. I think
it's all, but they are
right.
Not an Adam Sandler version. It is someone else.
Oh, really? Number five? Oh, really? Okay, but you know what? But today's Hanukkah. So that's different.
Right.
You can play the Hanukkah songs because it's Hanukkah. What I'm saying is, it's like, okay, it's not Christmas yet. Come on, man. It's like, I know, I think.
It's Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They do, but he
they're fucking,
like
you can listen
of,
to them all year. You can listen to them all fucking year and it rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's no lyrics. It's just them jamming out, so. I'm just pissed because my sister, she doesn't get BBC America.
Go to Dawn Radio DJ's chat and Skype and send a link because Melissa's going like, I want to hear for Blog Talk Radio before she can listen because she's going like, she refreshed Dawn Bot several times. All you hear is Dawn Bot. Like, right, we're not there.
Okay, so where am I sending a DJ?
Skype.
But which channel? Which chat am I saying?
Dawn Radio DJs.
Dawn Radio. Okay.
Dawn Radio DJs. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, let's see. We are. While he's doing that, we are in.
Got it.
City
All right,
of
that's
Heroes.
Done. Okay.
It's right. just me and Pogo at the moment. We do not right. have Blooper Man is not in the vicinity.
Okay, and over here in Champions Online, I'm in the WCOC studios. I've got Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom, Militia Takar, and Old Man Bob has somehow snuck in the building. He told me he cannot join us because somehow they, when he gets near, they chain the door shut. I don't know how he got in, but he somehow got in the building. Somehow he piled up dead bodies, or dead bodies were piled up. Mustark has said, it's not easy being an undead vampire in the wasteland. I said, I thought you said that you're alive, and she questioned, I am alive. I'm right here.
Alive.
I am alive. Well, I am alive. I'm right here. What are you talking about? We are alive. We're talking. We're chatting.
I'm happy. I'm happy.
Jeez. Okay, so really quickly, patch notes for the City of Heroes.
Oh, yes. I've been pointing this out when I filled in. Note to champions. If you update with content and new powers and new mods and new things, you might improve player count. Because once the update for City of Heroes came in, the red lights came on, as in the servers are almost full.
I know, right? So here's what happened. Okay, first off, marquee features. Dr. Aeon Strikeforce. A new Strikeforce chasing Fool's Gold for Dr. Aeon. Villain Strikeforce level 35 to 50. The supervillain genius Dr. Aeon has begun to take notice of suspicious, unscientific activity going on within Aeon City. Such things are inconceivable. None can be permitted to befoul the glory of his utopia. In his unparalleled brilliance, he has decided to enlist the service of local villains for the purpose of helping him maintain and enforce order. Definitely not to deflect any potential responsibility or liabilities from himself. Never. However, even his immaculate mind couldn't predict the culmination of this plot. Decades of planning see the rise of an unexpected threat, of which Dr. Aeon played no small part in helping to create in more ways than one. Strikeforce contact is Dr. Aeon himself in Aeon City, Capo Diablo, located atop the balcony of the Arachnos administrative building in Aeon City. This location can be reached through the elevators with rounded doors located inside the lobby, also available through the LFG tab. Completion of the Dr. Aeon Strikeforce will give players the option of selecting a new enhancement category as a reward called D-Sync Origin Enhancements, or DSOs. Once every 18 hours, the Dr. Aeon Strikeforce also features brand new musical compositions created specifically for it. How delightful! It's like Masterpiece Theater. Okay. Also, advanced difficulty options, focus feedback, advanced difficulty options, and challenge mode. With the release of the Dr. Aeon Strikeforce, we've completely rewritten the challenge settings code and greatly expanded what we could do with future content in terms of accommodating difficulty options and delivering curated challenges to players seeking that type of gameplay experience. These optional difficulty settings are accessed from the challenge settings menu. For content that has been added to the feature as of page 3, this will only include the Dr. Aeon Strikeforce. These options require being level 50 to select and change the content in various ways. These new difficulty modes were handcrafted and balanced and are not based on the previous challenge settings that exist currently. Ooh. They are villainous, malicious, vicious, ruthless, and relentless. Okay, there's a lot there. I'm not going to read them all, but, you know, there's a whole lot. Forget, for me to read this entire thing, it would take the entire show just to read this update. But there's new power sets. A new primary for blasters and corruptors. And it's a new secondary for defenders. It's called Seismic Blast. Ooh. Yes, you get powers like Encase, Shatter, Rock Shards, Entomb, or Entomb, Seismic Force, Upthrust, Tomb Sword. What?
You rain.
I rang. What?
Rain. You said upthrust. You rain.
Yes. Stalagmite and Meteor. I may make a character with this. And then a secondary power set for blasters. Earth manipulation. You can control the forces of the earth. You can manipulate earth and stone to defeat your foes. The crushing force of many earth powers can reduce a target's defense, while most stone attacks will knock foes off their feet. They include a stone prison, heavy mallet, salt crystals, build up, tremor, mud bath, barrel crystals, fracture, and seismic smash. And then we have some proliferation going on here for scrappers. Stone melee, such as stone fist, stone mallet, heavy mallet, build up, vault, confront, seismic smash, hurl boulder, and tremor. And stone armor, it's been revamped and proliferation. It's been proliferated for scrappers.
And torture.
Okay, the version. Okay, so hold on. The version of the set does not get access to granite. Instead, it has a new power called Geode. It is similar to Hibernate, creating a protective structure where you can regenerate and recover endurance. The power has some big differences from Hibernate, though. While Geode is active, you accumulate geothermal power stacks that increase the damage inflicted by Brimstone's fire proc. Geode does not trigger no phase locks, nor is it blocked by them. Enemies can target and attempt to destroy the geode structure. Once destroyed, the toggle will drop. Any buff aura the player has will remain active and will continue to buff allies. You can transform your skin into various forms of rock and stone. Stone armor is one of the few scrapper defense power sets that offers defense to psionics. Oh. Okay, so the powers in this set are Rock Armor, Stone Skin, Earth's Embrace, Mud Pots, Rooted, Crystal Armor, Minerals, Brimstone Armor, and Geode. Stalkers also get Stone Melee, Stone Fist, Stone Mallet, Fault, Assassin Smash, Build Up, Placate, Seismic Mallet, Hurl Boulder, and Tremor. And they also get Stone Armor, Hide, Rock Armor, Stone Skin, Earth's Embrace, Rooted, Crystal Armor, Brimstone Armor, Minerals, and Geode. I'm just laughing. Like, if you're a stone, like a stone giant, boom, boom, how are you going to assassinate somebody? Watch this. Boom, boom, boom. Look that way. What? Good job. Well done. Thank you. It's like the thing trying to be a ninja. It's like, huh? Okay. Well, think about it. You know, just let it play in your head. You know, it's like now revamps we have here. Now this is the revamp to stone armor power customization. Stone armor powers now have a set of minimal themes. These themes still display geometry on the character while the powers are running, but are significantly less obtrusive. Rock armor. Endurance cost has been reduced from 0.26 endurance per second to 0.208 endurance per second. That's not much of an endurance drop. So we're going from 0.260 to 0.208. Okay. Stone skin. The following stats were removed to stone skin from granite. Added resistance against fire, cold, energy, negative, and toxic damage. Plus 10% slash 7.5% for tankers and brutes, respectively. Added defense to all but toxic. Plus 5% slash 3.75% for tankers and brutes, respectively. Okay, this power should now accept defense enhancements and sets. Earth's Embrace. Lower the recharge. Reduce the cast time. Reduce the duration. The max HP buff can no longer be stacked with itself. Heal scale reduced. Okay, you just have to read it. There's a lot here, I mean, to go through. But it seems like they've given... it seems like they've given some revamp and proliferation to the Earth powers. Electrical Blast also. Oh, a new set mechanic. Shocked. Electrical Blast attacks now have a chance to shock enemies for 20% bonus damage, depending on their current endurance. This damage scales with buffs and enhancement. In addition, shocking enemies will return a portion of endurance back to you and inflict minus 40% recovery debuff on your target for 5 seconds each application, replacing the prior percentage chance to do so on many powers, with some exception. Starting at 80% endurance, your chance to shock will scale from 10% up towards 100% when an enemy is fully drained. Okay, there's some notes here I'll go through really quickly. Returned endurance is non-enhanceable. Single target attacks return half of the base cost. AoEs return one quarter. AoEs will only restore endurance once, not per target. Short circuit, Tesla Cage, and Thunderous Blast will always inflict minus 100% recovery debuff. In addition, they all have a chance to do additional minus recovery with shock. Voltaic Sentinel will not return endurance. Shocking is separate from Scourge slash other such bonus procs will not double dip. This change not only shores up electric single target damage conditionally, but also allows players to more easily keep targets drained, as their basic attacks will proc, shock, and inflict negative recovery the more endurance they drain. Okay. And then there's some specific power changes, like ball lightning, DOT duration lowered from 3.1 to 2.2 seconds, retains the same number of ticks. Short circuit, same thing with DOTs, animations lowered. Charger, Tesla Cage has changes, and there's so much more. Dual Blades gets a quality of life improvements. Combo builders no longer require a successful hit to build up the combos. The cancel mods effect replaces the unset mode. Oh, wait, sorry. The cancel mods effect, yeah, I read that right. The cancel mods effect replaces the unset mode effect to improve the reliability of the combo system. This fixes multiple bugs such as random highlight rings popping up and combos breaking unintentionally. Dual Blades power descriptions have added their relevant combo sequence information. All combos now have a 6-second window to continue finish a combo chain. However, this timer will always start at activation. One exception, Stalker's Slow Assassin's Blades, which have an 8-second duration to offset its 2-second interruptible period. Power changes, Placates and Powered combo effect no longer stacks. And then there's some bug fixes, some PvP changes you can read about. With sorcery, super reflexes. Oh, wait. We will stop to read about super reflexes. No personal reason there. Just random. Lower the activation period of powers with scaling resistance from 2 seconds to 0.5 seconds. This is for all archetypes. The duration of these effects have been set to 0.75 seconds to compensate. Note, this affects PvE as well. Increased PvP elusivity in focus fighting. Focus senses and evasion to 25%. Added toxic resistance to all scaling resistance powers. Bug fix. Corrected brute's evasion elusivity duration. It was set to 0.75 seconds when it was supposed to be 2.25 seconds. This resulted in AoE elusivity dropping out between each 2 second tick application. Okay, there you go. And that's the super reflexes. But, again, I want to note, for the PvEers, lower the activation period of powers with scaling resistance from 2 seconds to half a second for all archetypes. The duration of these effects have been set to 0.75 seconds to compensate. There, I just... There, you saw me. I just clicked them all. You saw me, right? Did I see how fast that was?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Here we go. And I even threw a practice brawler in there. Okay. There we go. Okay. Let me see what else we got. No, there's other power changes. Good Lord. Sleep has numerous changes. Placate has numerous changes. More changes for Stone Melee. Yeah, we get Earth Control, Electric Manipulation. All right, so they did a shitload of changes on this one, man. Go in and read it. Halloween costumes, they changed on this one, too? Is it a little late? Fixed player costume details from appearing over Gunslinger Halloween costume. There may be more. And for other costumes, please report those as you find them. Portable workbench. This is now a mobile NPC that will follow the player around. Okay, that's cool, because everybody complained that was stationary. No longer uses world collision. Can't be used to trap NPCs. No longer has a funky hitbox hand icon to open the crafting interface. Is a pushable pet, so players don't collide with it and just shove it out of the way. It doesn't explode and leave debris when dismissed. Known issues. There seems to be one. We are aware that huge character temporary power jetpacks have, apparently, been broken since pre-sunset and will work towards a universal fix in the future. Please bear with us in this regard. If you're affected by this, at the underlying issues or what amounts to a rat's nest of dependencies and engine limitations. Ah, we have new IO sets.
Oh, which means all the build makers and those who use bins. Yep, you're just about to get screwed up.
Yep. All right, our first new IO set, Ice Mistral's Torment. A rare six-piece slow movement IO set that emphasizes the enhancement of damage attacks. It has a level range of 20 to 50 and includes a damage proc. Its level 50 pre-ED enhancement values are 39.75% accuracy, 92.75% damage, 66.25% endurance reduction, 45.05% recharge reduction, and 53% slow movement. Let's see, if you have the full set, your bonuses are, well, let's go through them. Set bonuses. For two pieces, small 1.125% max HP. For three pieces, you get a 7% accuracy. Let's say you add a fourth piece, you get 10% slow resistance. The fifth piece gives you a 6.25% recharge time. And if you add that sixth piece, you get a 3.75% defense area and a 1.875% defense to fire and cold. All right, there is a hypersonic IO set. It's a rare four-piece flying IO set. Yay. That includes a unique IO that will grant your character a power mod that provides a plus 2.0 fly protection when using the fly power is slotted in it. Remember, though, you have to slot fly with four slots. The set has a level range of 15 to 50, and its level 50 pre-ED enhancement values are 95.4% flying speed and 68.9% endurance reduction. The set bonuses. With two pieces, you get 2.25% damage resistance, energy negative, 3.75% mes resistance to all. For three pieces, you add in a 2.5% recovery. And for four pieces, a huge 9% movement speed. And just remember, folks, you have the four slot you're flying to get all that.
Which means there'll be a few people adjusting their characters because of the fact that the high-level flying sets were only three. Now we're with four, so if you have that, there's going to be a few people going to the reactor in in City of Heroes.
Terra Volta.
Yep.
Terra Volta. I want you to have a free respect. Now, since I'm only level 44, I'm looking at this set, and I'm kind of looking at this thing. It's called Launch. It's a rare four-piece leaping IO set. The Pogo Man is looking at this one. It includes a unique IO that will grant your character incredible leaping potential. Okay? While using the jump power. Okay, so the extra leaping effect will grant your power plus 8 feet of jump height and plus 40 feet of maximum jump height for 120 seconds if click power or until the jump power is toggled off. The set has the level range of level 15 to 50, and its level 50 pre-ED enhancement values are 95.4% jumping speed slash height and 68.9% endurance reduction. However, the set bonuses for two pieces, 2.25% damage resistance to smash lethal and 3.75% mes resistance. For three pieces, you add in a 10% regeneration. And for four pieces, you add in an additional 2.7% max endurance. I'm kind of liking those bonuses. The 10% regeneration and 2.7 max endurance. And damage resistance and those height. Okay. Now. Let's say on top of that, you have super speed. You could add in another four-piece running to super speed. Okay. Now, I'm just reading this as I'm going along here. A rare four-piece running IO set. It's called Thrust. A unique IO that will grant your character extra running speed when using the run power it's slotted in. This extra run speed is 5 miles per hour. Can be increased with enhancements and outside strength buffs. Does not suppress in combat. Okay, doesn't suppress combat. Cool. It lasts for 120 seconds if click power or until when the run power is toggled off. The set has a level range of 15 to 50. It looks like all these travel powers, that new travel power sets, have a level range of 15 to 50. And pre-ED enhancement values are 95.4% running speed and 68.9% endurance reduction. Set bonuses for this one. 2.25% damage resistance to fire and cold. 3.75% mes resistance all. For three pieces, 1.875% maximum hit points. And for four pieces, 10% slow resistance. Which makes sense, because if you're a super speedster, you get that slow resistance. Okay, Warp. A rare four-piece teleportation IO set. The unique IO will grant your character heightened spatial awareness when using your teleportation power. Again, it provides a 20% increase to perception radius, lasting 120 seconds. Again, level range is 15 to 50. Its level 50 pre-ED enhancement values are 53.4% range and 68.9% endurance reduction. So your set bonuses for two pieces, 2.25% damage resistance to psionic and toxic, and 3.75% mes resistance to all. For three pieces, 3% endurance discount, and for four pieces, you get a 7.5% range. Okay, now remember that desync origin enhancement I mentioned earlier for the completion of the Dr. Aeon Strike Force? This will give players the option of selecting that new enhancement category. Once every 18 hours, it has a gold ring around it, and on the inside, it's blue. It looks like it has blue on the inside. These enhancements are parallel. Yeah, okay, I was just going to it looks like a Hamadan enhancement. It's parallel to Hamadan / Titan / Hydra origin and strength, and can be combined with those types to increase the level up to a maximum of 53. However, the DSO enhancements have several new combinations of boosts in addition to previously existing combos. These new combos have a higher drop weight than the older, and you will have a higher, but not guaranteed, chance to receive one when selecting this reward option. Okay, the new combination are as follows. Get ready. Endurance modification / accuracy. Endurance modification / recharge. Accuracy / range. Damage / endurance. Damage / recharge. Heal / accuracy. Heal / recharge. Slow / recharge / endurance. Threat / accuracy / recharge.
Bounce.
Okay.
AFK.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering when that was going to happen. I'll do a whole torch. Thank you. Okay. See, these are like the important, this is the important shit. Okay. Okay. And then we have threat duration enhancements. Threat duration enhancements, formerly taunt enhancements, are being renamed threat duration enhancements. These enhancements now will all boost taunt and placate duration. This has no impact on multi-enhancement set strength. The following powers now accept threat duration enhancements and sets. There's a lot of them. Let's see here. Bane, Spider, Soldier, Placate, Blaster, Ninja Training, Smoke Flash, Mastermind, Ninjas, Call. Okay. Jonin, Sentinel, Epic, Ninja Tool Mastery. Chimera Dama. Sorry about that. Pool, Concealment, Misdirection. Pool, Presence, Pacify. Stalker, Ninjutsu, Smoke Flash. Stalker, Broadsword, Placate. Stalker, Claws, Placate. Stalker, Dark Melee, Placate. Stalker, Dual Blades, Placate. All right, so basically anything that's Placate, all the Placate powers, take this thing. I thought it was going to take a while to reach. Okay, visual and items. There are new badges. License to Chill. If you log in during the 2021 winter event coming up, Master of the Prisoners of Eden, you complete the new Master Challenge selected from the Challenge Settings window, rewards a rare incarnate component. Master of the Descent to the Hydra, complete the new Master Challenge selected from the Challenge Settings window, rewards a rare incarnate component. Master of the Market Crash, Complete the new Master Challenge selected from the Challenge Settings window. Rewards a rare incarnate component. Fabled, defeat 100 Cyclops. Mythical, defeat 100 Minotaurs. Legatus, defeat 100 incarnate Cimmerorin Traitors. Call the Void, defeat 100 Void Hunters. The Beast Within, defeat 50 transformed 5th Column Lycanthrope Soldiers. Rear Guard, defeat 200 Vanguard Sword, Vanguard Shield, or Renegade Vanguard. I love this one. Who Smelted Delted, defeat 50 Goldbreaker Smelters. Cool Customer, defeat 50 Cray Cryogenesis. Totally Radical, defeat 200 Cray Gamma Tanks. Sanctuary, Cimmerora Exploration, Voice of the Oracle, Cimmerora Exploration, Out of Bounds, Cimmerora Exploration, Human Nature, Cimmerora Exploration, Vision of Ambition is a Cimmerora Exploration, Darkness Unleashed is another Cimmerora Exploration, History in the Making, Cimmerora Exploration Accolade. Epidemiologist is defeat all the prominent Vazalok leaders. Worthy Opponent, complete the Future of Freedom flashback with the old school challenge selected. Alpha, not Omega, complete a story arc in Ouroboros with the only Alpha slot power restriction. Deincarnated, complete a story arc in Ouroboros with the no incarnate powers power restriction. Gold Standard, complete the Dr. Aeon Strike Force. Unfriendly Fire, hit a golden Brickernaut with the dimensional grounding ray or golden throwing wrench to disable the limiter on their self-destruct. Then use it to hit Mission 4's final objective boss while she's under 10% health on malicious difficulty or higher in Dr. Aeon's Strike Force. Ripple Raider, successfully conquer all 12 powerful foes within Mission 5's 3 extra areas in a single attempt with no deaths on the team in Dr. Aeon's Strike Force. Power Overwhelming, defeat the final objective boss of Mission 6 while it is empowered from standing in the residual energy left behind from consuming the energy it summons while on malicious difficulty or higher in Dr. Aeon's Strike Force. Can't touch this. Defeat the final objective boss of Mission 7 without any members of the team being hit by their targeted attack during the length of the fight on malicious difficulty or higher in Dr. Aeon's Strike Force. Master of Dr. Aeon's Strike Force, obtain the Unfriendly Fire, Ripple Raider, Power Overwhelming, and Can't Touch This Badge. Best Friends Forever, take the Secretary hostage in Mission 1 and bring her to the final objective after completion. Then accept her help and bring her with you to the final objective in Mission 7 without her being defeated in Dr. Aeon's Strike Force. Okay, badge changes. Battle Harden, this badge has been moved to better fit its description. Efficiency Expert, you can now make progress for this badge by running the required missions as a teammate, not just the task owner. Okay, there's several badge fixes. Mob Specialist now properly counts the new prisoners' bosses added with the Brickstown update. Mob Specialist, this badge is now awarded for 100 prisoners' bosses only, down from 200. Warden now properly counts the new prisoners added with the Brickstown update. Fort Knox, hint text fixed to say 200 of any Goldbreakers instead of just bosses. It was never bosses only. Legacy of Flame, hint text fixed to correctly state 200 legacy chain minions instead of 100. Master of the Keys Island Reactor added the. Master of the Lambda Sector added the. Master of the Magisterium added the. Master of the Minds of Mayhem added the. Master of the TPN Campus added the. Emotes. Oh, okay. Add a new inner tube emote. You could cycle through or select your favorite. The emote requires your character to be in a water volume. Okay, so you have slash inner tube, and it cycles to the six texture variation. Inner tube one is a strawberry donut. Inner tube two is a chocolate donut. Inner tube three is a neon green sport. Inner tube four is a cow. Inner tube five is Naval Academy. Inner tube six is a lifeguard. The animation sequencer has been enhanced to be able to synchronize RNG state for certain animations that use randomized props and could appear inconsistent across clients. The following emotes should now have the same prop visible for everyone. Alakazam react, eat, eat food, food, and inner tube. Costume additions and changes, all jetpack. Get a new jetpacks category under back details to support future jetpacks. Existing jetpacks found under backpacks have not been moved yet. Added Goldbreaker to jetpacks. The legacy color version of the jetpack is delayed for technical reasons. All various. Added spectrum texture to many categories that were missing that option. All jackets, belts. Added resistance belt. All standard and mask, full mask detail 2, added arena headset. All head detail 1, added gold pricker, added blindfold 1 and blindfold 2 as detail 1 options derived from headband and wrapped. Tied versions not available with hats, helmets. Male and huge head face added hostile face 6. All upper body, chest detail, and special symbols. Added Hero Corps logo.
AFK? Kevin, you?
Okay. Yes, yes, I got it. And there's a whole bunch more of those that you'll find. Huh. So you need water, huh? Oh, it doesn't work here. There's not enough water over here. I was trying, you know, the little bit of water by Atlas, by the Atlas statue, guys. I was trying it over there. Somebody said, "Oh, the lake." Hold on, I'll be right back.
Oh, boy.
Hang on. Okay, I'm in the lake. Right, there we go. Oh, that's right. I hit inner tube 1, and the inner tube rose up from underneath me. Yep, I'm floating on an inner tube in the lake, in Prometheus Lake. Thank you. Panda Monica suggested the lake. Wee. Yes, she came to join me. And we're hanging out in the lake in our inner tubes. Well, let me try the second one. Let me try inner tube 2. Okay, so when you switch inner tubes, the first one disappears, and then the second one pops up underneath you. Oh, she's trying the cow. Okay. That will be the second one, I believe. The third one, I believe. Oh no! I got the green one. That's the third one. Oop. Yeah, the cow is the fourth one, and there's six of these, right? The fifth one looks all camouflagey. I'll be right back. I just want to try the sixth one.
Okay.
Yep, and the sixth one is definitely a lifeguard. how I was going to try and see if I could swim on. I was going to see if I could swim on the inner tube to come back to shore. It doesn't let you. Where am I? Oh, I got lost.
Mm-hmm.
Try to swim back to shore. Okay, that was a bit of fun. Yes, a Panda Monica was here. I think she's there. Okay, so that was a bit of fun we had, Panda Monica. Yeah, we don't get to drift on the tubes yet. I think that will be fun if you're on the lake trying to swim to the shore. Give you that option. Okay, so that was a bit of drift. You know what we could do from now on, though? We have a pool party at the base.
Yep.
Everybody on the inner tubes. Whee! Okay. Okay. Oh, we only have 24 minutes left. We're not going to be able to do what we wanted to do. Okay. Away from City of Hero News. We never get to do... All right. Away from City of Hero News really quick. As you know, we're huge fans of MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000. as you know, they're working on the Gizmotron, their own streaming service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Thursday, Turkey Day 2021, they announced the 13 movies that will consist of season 13. Okay? So in order, they were basically 30-second trailers scattered throughout the day, revealing all 13 movies. In order! The 13 experiments will be Santo and the Treasure of Dracula, Robot Wars. I've seen this movie. Oh, my God. It deserves an MST3K treatment. Beyond Atlantis, Munchie, Dr. Mordred, Demon Squad. Get ready. Ready?
Ready.
Gabara versus Jiger. Gabara is really neat. Gabara is full of me. All right. The Batwoman. The Batwoman returns. The Million Eyes of Sumeru. H.G. Wells, The Shape of Things to Come. The Mask 3D. The Bubble. The Christmas Dragon. And, as revealed at the very end of the 12-hour plus Turkey Day Marathon, MST3K's 13th season will begin. Ready for this?
Ready.
On March 4th. 2022. There we go.
Okay.
Considering the last episode announced is a Christmas-themed one, it's likely that all 13 episodes will pop up over the course of 2022. But Joel has let it be known that they aren't doing one big binge-ready dump. The episodes will arrive when they're ready. And in addition to the 13 episodes, there will also be monthly live events on Gizmoplex. No real details on what those will entail. We'll also get 12 shorts. Check out some quick trailers. Okay, so hold on, I'm trying to see what the link is for the. Okay, so if you go to Kickstarter. MST3K.com/season13, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You click on each of the movies, you'll get a quick trailer of each one.
Okay.
Now, hold on a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
Now, they're saying here a season pass is $85, right?
Okay.
And there's 1 day, 7 hours, 18 minutes, 38 seconds left, okay?
All right.
But I already did my whole thing. Okay, hold on. Okay. I'm just trying to see what I Sorry about that. I'm just trying to see what I pledged.
All right.
Oh, okay. Here it is. Okay. Right. Okay. So I get the T-shirt. Oh, right. I got the 12-month Gizmoplex pass for the movies. And I get a digital download of every new episode we make.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. So I get the season 13 T-shirt, Gizmoplex Pass for 13 months, download.
I will say while we're waiting.
All right. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Enough of that. Okay. I do want to get on with the show. I do want to. How much time we got? 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do want to mention some jump. Your turn.
Oh.
Okay. Christmas, I got this book, The League of Regrettable Superheroes. Okay. And we started reading it for a while, and I don't know what happened. We just accidentally hit the space bar. I put the book on the space bar. Okay. So I think between now and the end of the year, we're going to be reading a bunch of excerpts from this book. And before the show, I was making some selections. Okay. And these ones I got to read tonight. Okay. These three selections are from the modern age, okay? Mm-hmm. The first one is Adam X, The Extreme, created by Fabian Nicieza and Tony Daniel. He debuted in X-Force Annual No. 2, Marvel Comics, October 1993. Alternate Unused Identities, Ricky X, the R-Extical, RDX, the AX, the AX, the, like the awesome, the AX is awesome. I can't even say the nickname they had for him. Instead of the awesome, it was the AX is awesome. The axism, the AX, I can't fuck it. Anyway, it's stupid. As far as the world of comics is concerned, in the 1990s, everything became extreme. Until then, the typical superhero could get by with a flashy set of superpowers, a bright costume, and a clear ethical code. But the 20th century's last decade or so put a radical, outrageous, Cool Ranch flavored spin on comics characters, adding blades, goatees, overcoats, amorality, and attitude to everyone and everything. Enter Atomix the Extreme, as radical as a pair of surf pants kicking a rad ollie on a skateboard. He's the most 1990s-esque superhero ever produced by the House of Ideas. And that's saying a lot, considering that Marvel Comics all but created the trend in the first place. In 1990, the company introduced Cable, a tough-as-nails telekinetic mutant cyborg commando from a post-apocalyptic future, effectively launching the decade's fascination with big guns, padded armor, and characters with tiny, tiny feet. When Cable's co-creator Rob Liefeld and others left Marvel to help found rival Image Comics, the elder company suddenly found itself needing to play catch-up. Marvel had no choice but to try a few of its own hard-hitting, unforgiving, and willing-to-kill characters. Atom X was the apotheosis of the idea, a half-alien, half-mutant rebel from space, whose culture wasn't so foreign that it hadn't developed the backward baseball cap as a fashion statement. Also affixing Atom X to his decade was a leonine mullet and a robust soul patch branding his chin, but mostly he was all about the edge. Indeed, Atom X's distinctive costume was festooned with cutting blades. Seriously, they were protruding from his shoulders, lining the outside of his gloves, sticking out from his hands, strapped around his knee pads. The guy was a one-man knife shop, and that isn't even counting his Fetch 8 blades, enormous double-bladed hooks he wielded with both hands. If Wolverine was cool because he had claws, then Atom X was surely 10 times as awesome. Of course, a reasonable explanation for his knifery does exist. His mutant power relied on cutting his opponents. Atom X possessed the unsettling ability to ignite the blood from any open wound on mental command, literally causing his opponent's blood to boil. Radical indeed. As the decade died down, so too did readers' collective fascination with heavily armed, heavily bladed superheroes clad in black leather, with little to support the character except his seemingly by the numbers and appearance to the zeitgeist. Atom X bowed out in quiet and truly unradical fashion. Okay. Now, the next one is a character that somehow made one of the cartoons. And when I was like, dude, please just get rid of this guy. I'm talking about a character created by Scott Waddell and Joe Madureira. Okay, we're talking about Maggot and other regrettable X-Men. I know, no need to say it. The coolest, the Mac, to die for. I could go on. Newest X-Men, huh? So those who created Maggot, various others, original X-Men created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Maggot debuted in 1997, along with various others. Odds that Professor X will return calls? Not good. Marvel Comics' Uncanny X-Men, superpowered mutants who fight to save a world that hates and fears them, have managed a lucrative 50-year career that includes several big-budget films. Yet, as wildly popular as the concept became, more than a few members are, of course, unlikely to achieve widespread esteem. Here are some examples of ex-weirdos who will not be coming to a theater near you anytime soon. Maggot, a mutant superhero whose power is being infested with parasites. Maggot finds that his abdomen plays host to a pair of squirmy, worm-like creatures that consume matter and transfer the calories back to their host, who transforms it into prodigious muscle mass, Human mutants seem grosser, but then again, there's marrow, capable of growing new bones at will. Marrow turns some of her skeleton into armor and breaks off other pieces to use as weapons. Long neck. Competitions for the least practical mutant power may begin and end with long neck. A creature whose neck is indeed very long. His gift proved to be a liability when his powers were turned off and his neck promptly snapped. Rubbermaid. Stretchable superheroes are always useful to have around, but as far as code names go, this one is a stinker. Forget-me-not. This unassuming young X-Man possessed the mutant power of forgettability. Whoever sees him forgets his existence the moment he is out of sight. Apparently, he's been a member of the X-Men for a long time, but no one remembers to count him. Glob Herman, a protoplasmic humanoid mass made of bioparaffin. Herman's skeleton and internal organs can clearly be seen through his semi-transparent body. He'll not likely star in his own movie anytime soon. Beak. You could do worse than end up with bird-related mutant powers. But Beak didn't exactly win the genetic lottery. He has light bones and weird feathered limbs, but he can't really fly. His only offensive power is pecking. Snot. With the ability to fire overwhelming volumes of mucus from his nose with immense velocity, the mutant gains points for effectiveness, if not for pleasantness. Cypher, Doug Ramsey, rookie X-Man, had the power to instantly interpret any language in the universe. It's a useful ability, but it doesn't do a lot of good against getting shot, which is how this young mutant snuffed it. Okay. And... oh, where is it? Hold on, there was one more. Somebody lost a page. How am I doing on time?
6 minutes.
Oh, I found it. Okay. This one, you'll know in a second. Created by Steve Ditko and Will Murray. Debuted in Marvel Superheroes Volume 2, Number 8, Marvel Comics, January 1992. Sidekicks. Adorable squirrels named Monkey Joe, Tippy Toe, Slippy Pete, Mr. Freckle, and Nutso. Most are dead now. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, no.
Any idea? In 1992... the once colorful landscape of superhero comics had taken on a grim cast. The trend had been triggered by the release 6 years earlier of Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns and Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons' collaborative year-long deconstruction of the superhero genre Watchmen. The critical and commercial success of these comic milestones gave superhero comics, which have been flirting with an increasingly large adult readership over the better part of two decades, permission to become really serious. In short order, death and depression infiltrated the superhero landscape. Former bad guy, the Punisher, racked up an impressive body count. As a popular anti-hero, old, weirdo characters like the Doom Patrol and Shade the Changing Man were reinvented in tableaus of intense psychological trauma. Even Batman's youthful psychic Robin, well, one of them anyway, became a victim of fatal supervillain violence. Into this gritty environment came Squirrel Girl, created by writer Will Murray as an antidote to the perceived bleakness running rampant in Marvel Comics' multitude of X-Men-related titles. Doreen Green, optimistic young do-gooder and novice mutant superhero, possessed powers of both the family, karate, and positive thinking. She boasted the relative strength, speed, and talent of squirrels, much as Spider-Man possessed arachnoid attributes, as well as a bushy prehensile tail, claws, and the ability to communicate with her furry fellows. aided by her squirrel sidekicks with names like Monkey Joe and Tippy Toe. Squirrel Girl proved to be a surprisingly powerful crime fighter. In assorted battles, she managed to stand her own against such major Marvel menaces as MODOK, Thanos, and Dr. Doom. Despite an impressive win-loss record, it was almost a decade before Squirrel Girl's second appearance, this time in the company of Z-list Midwest American superhero team, the Great Lakes Avengers. Still, Squirrel Girl's bubbly, optimistic, and arguably frivolous presence seemed to recall a brighter time in superhero history, when stories were less rooted in real-world consequence. Accordingly, her popularity has grown among a dedicated core of supporters. In subsequent appearances, she racked up impressive additional wins against more Marvel's ominous opponents, including the Titanic, Fin Fang Foom, the Cosmic Terax, and, well, the Bi-Beast, a guy with two faces. Marvel is planning to give her a title of her own in 2015. I think she got it. An impressive feat considering how rarely she appeared in print. And those are just some of the examples of the League of Regrettable Superheroes. Join us next week for more, as every week until the end of the year. And remember, if you want to see us return to the Tiki 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 Room, donate $220 to the extralife.org fund. We're trying to reach $1,000. We're so close. Again, I will post it in the usual spots. Let's see, where am I going to post this one here? I'll post it here in the Coalition. Oh, goodness, we only have 90 seconds. I'll post it here in the Coalition. I'll post it there in the Coalition. And I'll post it over here. Where am I going to post that? Oh, no! I was logged out Champions Online?
Oh.
What? Okay, it says invalid. What? Invalid name. What?
Only
60 seconds. Oh, God. Hold on. All right. Okay, I'm back. Let me try that one again. There you go. For doing radio for those people, I'm back. I'm sorry. All right, please donate what you can. We have till the end of the year to raise $220 more dollars to get to $1,000. If we reach $1,000 before the end of the year, we will do a show or the rest of the remaining shows of the year in the Tiki 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 Room. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Sorry I wasn't here last week. Read those comic books, read those superhero novels. Tune in for those TV shows and movies. Don't forget Hawkeye has started on the Disney Channel, on Disney Plus. Sorry, not Disney Channel, Disney Plus. Amazon Prime has started. The Wheel of Time, we'll get into that more next week. Thank you to Mad Viking for co-hosting this week and helping out last week, hosting last week. That was awesome. You guys rock. We'll see you next week. Paragon Radio, tune in for DJ Texas' show coming up on Dawn Radio. Embrace the Dawn. Good night, everybody. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking, quickly.
Take a night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. We'll see you next week, everybody. Okay. I think that's it for us.
There you go.
8 o'clock. Okay. Whew. We did that just in time. Oh, now everybody shows up. Deidre Medusa. Who is this? Stomping Bull. And Gorgon of Earth Control. Who's Beatrice Medusa? Who's?
Oh, that's a Paragon Dawn member.
Yeah, I know that. Okay.
All right, well, I got to move over to Croatoa for tonight's event.
What's tonight's event?
There's going to be a marriage.
Oh, the wedding's tonight?
Yeah.
What time does it start?
I want to say around 9 o'clock.
Ah, shit. All right. I'm heading over.
All right. And it's in the
Midnighters
Club.
I'm going to try to be there. The Midnighters Club. All right. I got to record those lines quick, and I got to move some stuff around. I'll try and be there. I'm moving there now. Actually, I'm going to go into the Super Group 8s. I got to record those lines now, and then I'll send them over. Then I got to move everything into the living room. I got to get out of this office because the dogs are getting restless.
Matt.
Oh, let me log off with you. Okay, then I'll talk to you later, sir.
All right.
Good job tonight. I will talk to you later.
Okay.
Good night. All right, talk to you later. Bye.